Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Guys, I'm going to be using the handheld today, I believe. I'll just make sure everybody knows, if I keep pushing on my ear, I am hearing out of one channel today. And I've had trouble with it since I got off a plane. And how many people know what it's like only to hear out of one ear? Amen. And then I thought it couldn't get any worse, so I would try to fix it. I was wrong. It got worse, amen. So I'm trying to battle with that this morning and not making excuses, but I do want to pray and ask the Lord to help me this morning. I'm thankful that you're here. This is a special day for us as Christians. Every Sunday is special. We worship on Sunday morning, and the scripture kind of lays us out, but for all of us, you know, one of the biggest things as a Christian that you ought to know from the difference between the Old Testament Christian and New Testament Christian is simply that they worshiped on the Sabbath because the work of God was done, the law was given. All these things are a Saturday set forth day, but we worship in a brand new age because Jesus rose again from the, and we worship on the first day of the week because we put him first right out of the gate. It's the day that he rose again. It is the day that for us, we begin every week of our lives with the picture that there is hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a terrible way to live your life, to begin a week and to think about, I have no hope. To begin a brand new week and to think, if I could make it till the end. Do you know folks that are looking for Jesus in the Old Testament? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make it till the end. They're trying to keep it through the tribulation period. I'm so glad I'm not looking for the end of the trib or for Jesus to come back in power and save me physically. He saved me spiritually, and one day he's going to capture me out in the rapture. A New Testament Christian is believing on Sunday morning that one day will be the last day as a Christian that we're here and that we'll be captured, raptured, taken up. Revelation chapter 4, come up hither out of this place and sit in heavenly places, not just seen in heavenly places seated, but physically seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. For us this morning, I pray that you know that you know the Savior. He's not like anybody else. And today, I'm not sure how much I'm going to get done of what I prepared, but I'll just do this. I'll say this. How could you preach anything but Jesus on a day like today? Amen. The work of salvation was done through Jesus Christ, and it was shown clearly, manifested by his resurrection. Everything that he said he was proved the day that he came out of the grave. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I pray and beg you, Lord, to help me this morning. Some physical things that are bothering me, Lord, but they are not hindering me from preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. So God, I pray that you would help me. It's Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would guide me, use me, move me out of the way, God, and use my lips to preach Jesus this morning. I thank you for the people that have come and that how they prepared for the day and the picture. But God, I pray that if there's one that came today without Jesus Christ, they don't have heaven for sure as their home because they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus' finished work, not on Calvary, but in his resurrection. God, I pray today that they would put their faith and trust in him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 24, I'm going to go ahead and switch over to this, guys, if it's all right with you. Thank you. In Luke 24 and verse number 1, we're going to begin reading there. But can I just explain to you this morning that it shouldn't get old to us. We're not the same as anybody else. There are a lot of people that have religion, and there's all kinds of religions in the world. But today, we celebrate in a way that no one else can. There's a lot of people that celebrate high days and high feasts and days of prayer and all kinds of things, but there's not anybody else on planet Earth outside of the Christian that celebrates the death, burial, and today the resurrection of their Savior. Everybody else leaves them in the ground. They have a high place, a tomb, or some place that they go to. Listen, we don't have to make the track to the empty tomb this morning because it's empty. It doesn't hold him. It couldn't hold him. And I'll just say today, the message title is simply this: he is risen. I think in Luke 24, it's clearly seen throughout the Gospels, we can clearly see the resurrected Jesus Christ. But when we get into Acts, Jesus didn't just rise and shoot up and take his place in heaven. He went and made a blood offering for us. I want you to be able to see this. And if you were to understand the scripture and read through it, Jesus rose from the dead, told his disciples he was coming back and where to meet him. And then he went and made a blood atonement on the altar that was not made with hands in heaven, and then descended back from that place to spend 40 days with his disciples to teach them and to encourage them to continue in the faith that we continue in this morning. He then ascended into heaven to take his place at the right hand of the Father, to not only just be able to, if for all of us, sometimes we teach, if we're not careful, Jesus took a seat so he could rest from his finished work. Jesus took a different position. The work of Calvary and salvation was paid for and done, and Jesus sat down in a regal manner in the courtroom or the throne room of heaven to become the intercessor for those who he purchased by his own blood. That intercessor sits there and says, he prayed and asked it in my name. Heaven says, granted, when it's asked in his will. The intercessor that sits there on the throne realizes when we have trouble and trials. And nobody else in that heavenly throne room has been touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Nobody else has been spit on and beaten and hurt and maimed in the way that Jesus was. And the intercessor that sits there says, he looks at his father and said, Father, if you knew what they had gone through. I know that you're the righteous judge, but could I just make a plea for them? I felt what they felt. I've been where they've been, and I'm telling you right now, this is something that they need. Can I just tell you, we've got a Savior like no other Savior. When he came up out of the grave and he took on, I'll just say it's important to realize that he's not just seated in the heavenly throne making intercession with court's end. Jesus doesn't quit. He goes back to work. After he finishes his courtly duties on a daily basis, and when people are slumbering and sleeping, he puts on his tool belt and he goes to prepare a place for us. That means he's making a plan return for us to be with him in heaven, and he's putting the tool belt on, and whatever's going in heaven, he's overseeing the work being done. We always like to use the term on our mansion. But I mean, he's building a place for us to dwell. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know where you live, but any place in heaven's going to be a mansion compared to the place I live today. Not that God hasn't put a good roof in, he hasn't blessed me, but I'm looking forward to a heavenly mansion that sets off the streets of gold, that's down the street from glory. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be a place that I'm looking forward to spend some time with the Lord Jesus. And all of that happened to me and you because we put our faith and trust in who he was, the Son of God. What he did, he laid his life down. They didn't take it from him. Nobody could have killed him if he didn't want to be killed. But he laid his life down for you and I as a living sacrifice. And they put him to death. Because he allowed it to be so. And also because he told them. And here in the passage, they're going to be reminded that he said, hey, I must lay down my life but 3 days and I'll take it up again. Can I just tell you the fulfillment of Jesus? You know anybody else that said, I'm going to die and I'm coming back? Anybody else that's ever predicted that? It didn't happen. Now you say, what do you mean? I've heard of people dying and coming back. Yeah, with jumper cables. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you carry a battery-operated system. One of the men in Salisbury has this car battery size, like a 6-volt battery like they used to have on the old tractors. I baptized him the last time I was up there. I said, brother, you can't wear that in that tank. It may jump you and kill me. You're going to take that off before you get in there. Amen. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, when we're going through the process of things, listen, there's some things that are natural things where people die. But listen, laid in the grave for 3 days, Brother Chitty has a wonderful story of being pronounced dead. But then getting up in the cool of the air. Do you know that there are people that discount the Lord Jesus Christ and they say that they laid his body in the tomb, but he wasn't really dead in that cold air and that tomb overnight refreshed him? That's erroneous. That's wrong. That's fake. You can read all kinds of stuff. People, the same people that try to write and say the miracle of the Red Sea part, and that's not real, they're wrong. Those same people are the people that try to discount our Savior. We live in a world today that discounts what he did, but listen, the Bible records it. And in Luke 24, I want you to see this morning, he says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher." Look at this, "bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were perplexed." They were perplexed. "Therefore, thereabout it, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." So about the time they didn't know what in the world was going on, two guys showed up. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, look, sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." Can I submit to you this morning that even his disciples discounted his prediction that he would rise from the dead? Do you know what their message was then and what the message throughout Acts? You know, anybody could preach Jesus, and we live in a day and age where people preach Jesus. I teach the book of Acts, and one of the most powerful things for everyone to recognize when you read the book of Acts is that Paul preached Jesus. Nobody was ever ready to kill him or throw him out of the city until he preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He would go into the synagogue, and before the Jews, he would reason with them that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But listen, all of them would listen up until the point he said, "And he's risen from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven." We live in a day and age where people discount today. We've gathered together in his name to celebrate that we're not like anybody else, that we're different because the Savior that we follow and we live for, that we give everything to in this life, is alive. That he's risen. Can I tell you how I know that he's risen? If we were to read through the passages of Scripture and understand Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see the accounting in Ephesians chapter 4. I didn't mark it, so you may beat me there. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, this morning. The New Testament Scripture is going to explain to us that Jesus is powerful in a way that sometimes we don't understand. We're not going to go through all the exegeting of the Scripture here, but if you could, Ephesians chapter 4 with me this morning, and I want you to see what the Bible says as Paul writes, and he's trying to explain to the church at Ephesus what happened when Jesus died. It says, and it talks about in verse 9, Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And then it goes into the gifts that he gave the church. If you would, look back with me at Luke 24. Make sure that you're back there. I just want to preach to you a little while that he is risen. Jesus has come from heaven and died on Calvary. And he paid the sin debt, but the reason why he stayed in the grave 3 days is because that's what he set as a sign of himself. It wouldn't have been much of a sign if Jesus laid down his life and in 30 seconds took it up again. Nobody would have believed it. Nobody would have seen it as a miracle. And many people go on, well, why did he stay dead longer? Because he had work to do. You say, he stayed, I heard a preacher say, he stayed one day for the Father, one day for himself, and one day for the Holy Spirit. And then he rose in power. He stayed 3 days because, and the fourth day, these ladies show up early in the morning because, listen, you know what happens on the fourth day? They let Lazarus go that long. What'd they say? By now, Lord, he stinketh. Corruption is going to set into the body. Can I just submit to you today, you know why Jesus didn't smell when he came out of the grave? Because his body wasn't like Lazarus's. He was born of human mother, but his daddy was God. Do you know what messes up this old corruptible body? The corruption of sin. You know what makes it rot? You know what wasn't in Jesus' body? Sin. That was a holy body. Not just because they put holes in it, friend. He was laid in the grave and they thought he was just like everybody else, and they showed up on the first day of the week to rub spices on him, to help him not smell bad, to help with, and listen, can I just tell you, Jesus didn't need help. He was the sinless Son of God who came down to save all of the world. And I'll just say this, I wrote down some things. He is risen from the grave. Do you know most of us, we don't really contemplate the things that he rose up from. We just think about he rose up from the dead. Yeah, he was dead, but what happens to dead people? Two things happen to dead people, all right? We bury them, and they're dead, right? But listen, every one of us inside the building understand that just like that body contained something, that there was a spirit inside a man. What did the ladies expect to receive when they walked into the tomb? The stone was rolled away, but what was gone? The body of Jesus Christ. They expected to find a body because the spirit had been yielded up on the cross and had left him, and they didn't expect to find anything left on earth, just like you and I with our loved ones. After years, it rots down and the body's gone, but we don't think they're there. When we preach a message from a funeral, we say, hey, thank God this body that lays before us is not all that it was. That lives forever has gone on to be with the Lord, and we get excited about it. Can I just tell you, at this time period, Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. When his spirit was yielded up and it descended into the lower parts of the earth, according to Ephesians chapter 4, that same Jesus that went down into the grave, listen, the grave couldn't hold him. Abraham had been there for a long time in Abraham's bosom, and he couldn't get out. Abraham was powerful with God and men, but Abraham couldn't get out. There was only one other man that I know in the Bible, in the New Testament age, that came out of that place that was in Abraham's bosom, and his name was Lazarus, but he didn't come out by his own power. He was called out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm telling you, there's a bunch of people that have been in this church that were on our roll that went on to be with the Lord, and they are, listen, can I just tell you, they didn't have to go to Abraham's bosom because they went on to be with the Lord. They said, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. But at that time, that wasn't there. Jesus had to take captivity captive. People had to go to what was a holding cell until Jesus paid for all sin and Jesus descended into the heart of the earth. Can I just tell you, the Bible says he preached to them. That was got to be some preaching. You know, the Bible records so much of Jesus' preaching on the Mount of Olives and him preaching by the seashore. Can you imagine when we get to heaven and we find out what he preached while he was there? Listen, I can tell you, I guarantee you that was exhorting. I guarantee you he reared back and preached on that day. Predicted and let everybody know. I wrote these things down and I want you to see it. Death couldn't hold him. Do you know that the last enemy that will be defeated is death, according to the scripture? But guess what? Jesus already defeated him. Never to die anymore. Death couldn't hold him. Do you know that death has held on to every man since that? We could talk about the ones that came back from the dead throughout the scripture that we know about, men who have had the jump box put on them. My father-in-law is one of those men. Age 43, I asked his daughter to be my girlfriend, and it was like 3 days later he had a heart attack. I know it's funny now, but I mean, it wouldn't be funny. They had to bring him back. He died like 6 times in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. You go to my home church, they still talk about what happened to him and what he saw. He really, gave a testimony. He said, I was walking, it was a bright light. I got there, and he said, to me, it was Jesus. I couldn't see a figure. I just heard her voice in the light, and he said, listen, it ain't your time. You got to go back and serve me. He said, and next thing I know, I was in the ambulance, and I was awake, and they didn't lose him anymore. Can I just tell you today, listen, God is the one that has power over life and death. God is the one that sits upon the throne room of life and death. And for all of us, and for you included this morning, I just want to remind you today that death could not defeat him. When it was time for him to come out, he said, uh-uh, death. And he shook off the chains. He shook off the power of death. By the way, he spoiled death and hell. He took the keys to the place when he left. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about the Bible tells us that he took the keys to death and hell and went on about his way as he came out of that place. I wrote down this. He didn't just take, he took, listen, the power of hell couldn't hold him. Do you know that that place is, the Bible uses its terminology that there's so many people pouring into hell because they reject Jesus Christ that the place has enlarged itself. The amount of people that have gone there, it was not created to hold, but it has the power to enlarge itself to accommodate the people who have come there. Wouldn't it be a sad commentary on our world today that people come to church and in disbelief, not believe the truth of Jesus Christ, reject him and go to a devil's hell, and hell have to enlarge just a little bit more on the day that we celebrate Jesus beating death, hell, and the grave? I wrote down this. Earth couldn't stop him. Do you know that the greatest power that most of the world is known as the Romans, the Roman army, they still exist today in the Roman Catholic Church. One day they'll try to take over the world one more time under the Antichrist. That Romans, those Romans, I mean, they had built roads. They had conquered anyone that stood up against them. But that day, the Jews said, listen, we heard this. And this is, I want you to understand this. His disciples discounted his prediction of his resurrection. But the Pharisees didn't. See, the Pharisees believed in a resurrection. They had preached it and taught it. Now, it's sad to say that the disciples just kind of went their way and didn't even think about Jesus rising again. But that wasn't what the chief priest and the Pharisees said. They went to the most powerful men that they knew in the time and went to Rome and said, listen, this man said in 3 days that he would rise up again. That if he laid this temple down, that he'd raise it up again in 3 days. See, they weren't confused. There are people that think, see, all of his disciples thought he was talking about the temple itself. But the Pharisees knew exactly what temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. Rome did its best, took a seal and set a watch. Set it on there, and for everybody on earth, they would be scared to death to break that seal because Rome would come after you with all of its might and power if you broke the seal of Rome. And they set it upon his tomb, and they set a watch of Roman soldiers at the gate, but didn't stop the angels. When it was time to show everybody that Jesus wasn't there, listen, Jesus slipped right by them. He didn't need the stone to be rolled away to come out, but to show you and me and his disciples who had believed on him that were coming to rub spices, the angels come. And the Bible says in another passage of scripture that the earth shook so much that the soldiers fell as dead men. And the angels waltzed in there. According to the scripture in the one passage, it says it took a seat on top of the stone that it rolled away. And then the ladies rush in, not seeing the angels, but coming in disbelief and finding that there was nobody. Begin to start thinking about, where's he at? And the angel said, right where he told you he'd be. He's risen from the grave. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Can I ask you this? Do you know there are people that come to church and they think that this is, church to them is a funeral service. We come in and we want to sit down, and instead of saying amen and singing with every bit of gusto we have to a live and living Savior that sits in the heavenlies waiting for us to praise his name, in our giving and our going and everything we do, we come and act like he's dead. We're in church. Jesus loves me. I'm just telling you, he's not dead, he's alive. Why do you come to church and act like he's dead? Why do you come to church and act dead when he's alive? And he expects, now listen, I don't want nobody taking laps this morning. We don't want you falling out in the aisle or doing anything that's absolutely fake. But it would be all right if you acted like you were alive, because he is. It all right every once in a while when you hear something good to say amen and praise the Lord and come to church and act like Jesus is still sitting on the throne room, not only in heaven, but in your heart. See, he defeated the grave. How about if you defeat the grave? The grave failing that everything is lost. You know, a Christian ought to feel like he's got all the hope in the world. He's not only got hope beyond, he's got hope beyond this world, but in the next. I wrote down this, and this is my second point, and I want to give this to you, and I want you to hold it. He not only took and he has risen from the grave, but he's risen from the earth. See, earthly power couldn't stop him, but then Jesus, after he had told his disciples, listen, I want you to do this and be and build and hold together what I built. What was it called? It's called we sit in it today, we call it the church. The church is a body of believers that binds itself together to do exactly what Jesus taught us in Scripture. It's not the buildings or the things we own. It's the group of people that meet together. But see, even this, he ascended, if you could, he risen from the earth. After he had done his duty, he ascended into heaven to be that intercessor that we preached on. He ascended into heaven to make a blood atonement for our sin. We talked about that. Can I just tell you this? He has gone, according to John chapter 14, to prepare a place for you. My question for all of us today is, if he is risen, are you prepared to meet him at his return? He has gone to prepare a place for you. And I've read the scripture through multiple times, and the Bible allows us to have a space where you could put your name. It's usually a whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that every person in the building and the ones listening, the ones watching on YouTube or wherever you are, that I'm so glad the day that I took whosoever out and I put Barry Parsons in its place. It changed my world when it wasn't just a general rule for everyone to come to Christ, but it was how I came. You see, we live in a day and age where Christianity, just because my parents go to church, I'm a Christian. Because I attend church, I'm a Christian. Because I join the church, I'm a Christian. Christian means to be what? Christ-like. Not to join a church or to be baptized. Being a Christian is to be Christ-like. And what, again, this is one of the things that is so misunderstood, and I don't want to mess you up this morning. So I would appreciate if you would listen. Repentance is Bible, it's a part of Bible salvation. It's not repenting from your wrong works to good works. Repentance is turning from anything else you have put your faith and trust in and turning to Jesus Christ. And it's one of the things that people they take it and they make it difficult. They don't simplify it, but preaching should be simple. Repentance is this simple. It's simply saying, I believed that I was a good person. I believe that part of my being a good person or doing good works, that was part of me getting to heaven. I'm just going to tell you this morning, you have to come to the realization that being a good person is good, but it doesn't have anything to do with you getting to heaven. Believing that you could do enough good to outweigh your bad is not repentance. You need to repent from that. This morning, we live in America. And many of you came and you already believed that Jesus was real, but so many people have mixed their baptism, their works, and so many other things with Jesus, and that belief will take you to hell. You need to repent and turn to Jesus and believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that you can live. You have to put your faith and trust not in anything that you've done, but everything Jesus did. His death, burial, and resurrection, and that solely and wholly for your salvation. There are people that aren't even in the Christian crowd that believe that maybe in Muhammad. Some of them believe in different totems and elephants and all kinds of things. Do you know what they do with Jesus when he's preached? They just add him to their gods. Do you know what will happen to people even though they have believed in Jesus? Do you know who else believes in Jesus and trembles? The devils. Listen, you can't just make Jesus a God. He has to be the God. He has to be the Son of God. He has to be the only way, the only truth, the only life. If you're here this morning, listen, many of you have heard this preach. If you showed up this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my first desire is to encourage you that you've put your faith and trust in something that is eternal, lasting, and Jesus is coming again, just like he said. You should get excited about that today. But I'll say this, number two, if you claim to be a Christian and you have mixed your faith with belief in your own works and Jesus Christ, you should repent of that this morning and accept Jesus as your Savior. You say, where would I have gotten that? Well, you could have got that from the Catholic Church. I was born and raised in a Baptist church, but my family came from a Methodist church. You know what the Methodist church had? They had a method of how they get saved. Do you know who they added that to? Jesus. Do you know what people in a Methodist, Wesleyan, and anything else have to reject? Anything, any outside things, and turn simply to Jesus. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can be sure of your salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if this morning you know exactly who you are, if you're in here and you're saying, yep, I'm saved because I accepted Jesus and I got baptized. Baptism is something that happens after you get saved. If you're here and you say, I'm saved because I'm a good person, read my Bible, and help old ladies across the street, and I accepted Jesus Christ. Listen, that's one of the greatest things. And listen, you should get a scout badge for helping little ladies to their car and across the street. But you're not getting to heaven because of it. If you've added any of those type of works, and I find, listen, lastly, I want you to, I know that this isn't popular, but I want you to hear this. A lot of people that I meet in churches just like this one will say, yes, preacher, I was saved one day. I was drowning and somebody swam out and saved me. That's not getting saved. That's not what we're talking about this morning. I was in a bad car accident and somebody saved me. That's not salvation. Bible salvation is coming to a place where you humble yourself as a small child and realize that you can't save yourself. And it wasn't somebody that swam out to you, but it was Jesus who left heaven and came to earth and paid for your sin debt, who didn't deserve to die. He was holy and harmless, and he laid down his life on Calvary to pay your sin debt. And then, what no one else could do, he rose again from the grave in power. And then, listen, because he rose again, he became the author of salvation, the captain of salvation, the payment for all sin. And listen, he waits for you to call upon his name, even now, as an intercessor in heaven. He waits for somebody who has today come to the place where they realize he's not only risen, but I need to call upon his name and accept him as my Savior. He waits for you to call on him today. He waits for you to be accepted, just like he waited on me, just like he waited a long time on Pastor Carter, just like he waited on so many of us in this place today. He has waited. Why hasn't Jesus returned? Because you haven't been saved yet. The reason that he's not come back is because he's waiting for that one person that needs to accept Christ and be saved. I ask you today, could it be you? Is what is holding Jesus' return? We know he's risen. We've preached about it today. But is his return be held up because you haven't received Jesus Christ? I'll just say this. I've read the Bible. The Father is the one. Jesus is gracious and holy and loves us. He is long-suffering. He is waiting on you. But one day the Father will say, it's time.
we can't wait anymore. And he will send the son back for his church, and at that day, it'll be too late. It'll be too late to turn. It'll be too late if you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the reality of the eternity that you are now living in. And people will live in eternity in heaven. Yes, they will. But people will live in an eternal lake of fire, just like people will live in heaven. And you, listen, you can make a choice to accept Jesus and be saved today, or you can make a choice today to roll the dice one more time, to try your luck, to chance it one more time. I've heard preachers say you can try to pull one more time on the firing pin of Russian roulette. Why would you do that when you know if you would simply bow your head in your heart and call upon Jesus Christ to be saved, that he would save you? Why would you put it off? I ask you this today. As a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if I could get saved for you, I would. If I could walk myself down the aisle, do you know there are other religions that believe that you can be baptized for other people to get them saved? Can I tell you that's false? You can't get saved for anybody else. They have to make a personal choice to be saved. Grandma, grandpa, children, little children inside the room, you cannot be saved for anybody else and nobody else. You're not saved because someone else is saved. You have to come to Jesus on your own. What a better day to celebrate your spiritual birthday than the day that Jesus came out of the ground. He rose again. He's risen this morning. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I just ask you this. If you're here and you're without Christ and you want to receive him as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to do what you said. I need to call upon his name and be saved. Is there anybody here this morning that say, preacher, I'm not sure of heaven. I've never been saved, but I want to get that today. I want to accept Christ. Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere that would hold it up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there one? I see that hand. Is there another that would say, preacher, pray for me? I saw the one that raised her hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that would be honest with me and God and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to know that. Would you pray for me? Could I ask you to do this? I saw the hand that was raised. Would you get that settled today if we had somebody come to you? All right. Would you stand to your feet, all of you? Stand to your feet. If you're like that this morning, I'm going to pray here. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand, but you'd like to be saved. I'm going to wait for you right here in the front. I'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be saved. But I'll ask you to do this. Would you pray for those that aren't saved? If you're saved this morning, we want you to be saved. Dear Lord, I pray you'd save those that are not sure of heaven. If there's one in this place that's not sure of heaven because of a Bible reason, God, I pray they would bow their head in their heart and accept Christ as their Savior. I pray you do business in this place. Help us not, Lord, to act like we're dead, but to realize we're alive in Christ Jesus because of what he did for us on Calvary and his resurrection from the dead. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bert's going to sing. Would you come and meet us in the front?